Today she is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chav Gimel, and we will begin Daf Kuf Chav Beis Amid Beis, five lines from the bottom, Kama Kadei Ibud. We had learned in the previous year that even though, as the Mishnah enumerated, there are a number of animals in Shrotzim whose or, whose skin, whose hide, is kabasar, is treated like the flesh. The Mishnah said that any or that was processed, was stepped upon, is no longer ever considered kabasar. So the Mishnah asked the Gemara, Kama Kadei Ibud, what is the definition that it was stepped upon that it loses that status of being like basar? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yanai, Arba Milim. If it was stepped upon for walking 4 milim, which is anywhere from 72 minutes and a little more, because we know there's a machlokes, how much is a mil? 18 minutes, the time to walk 18 minutes, or 22 minutes, or 24 minutes. So says the Gemara, once we speak about this shear of Arba Milim, Omer Rav Avuha, Omer Reish Lakish, Legabel. And we have a Machlokes Rishonim what the definition of Legabel means. Rashi says that Legabel means that somebody hired me to make dough on his behalf. And the question is, how far do I have to walk in order to be able to do it b'tahara? And the Gemara is teaching us, says Rashi, that it's referring to a situation that I have to walk 4 milim out of my way to be able to process this dough b'tahara. And as the Mefarshim explain Rashi's opinion, they explain that of course we're referring to a situation that there was no specific stipulation that this dough would be made b'tahara. Because if I accepted upon myself that I'm going to make the dough b'tahara, then I have to do what I agreed to do. Here we're talking about where I didn't make any, there was no such specific condition, still I should walk 4 milim to do it b'tahara. Furthermore, the Mefarshim suggest that if there was a specific condition that I would do it b'tahara, and then I realized that it's more than 4 milim that I'm going to have to walk to be able to do it b'tahara, I could back out of the deal. Tysus explains the Gemara differently. Tysus explains Legabel that it's not talking about a business relationship. It's referring to a situation that I accepted upon myself. I'm making dough for myself. How much should I bother myself to make it b'tahara? And the Gemara is saying I should walk 4 milim. Letfila. Here too we have a very big machlokes Rishonim what the definition of letfila means. Rashi says, Letfila means that I have to daven, and how far should I walk, Rashi says, to get to a shul, the way most Mefarshim explain Rashi, to daven b'minyan. How much does a person have to go out of his way to daven b'minyan? And again, the Gemara says that I have to be ready to walk 4 milim. There are other Mefarshim that explain Rashi, and actually, if you look in the words of Rashi, it seems to be that way. Rashi says it doesn't mean that you're definitely going to get a minion. Because the halacha is that let's say you're not going to have a minion. It's still preferable to daven in a Beis HaKnesses. So how much should a person travel to be able to daven in a Beis HaKnesses, even if he won't have minion? Arba Milim. Tysus has a different approach. Tysus' approach is that there were people who were careful to always go to the mikveh, for Tfilas Ezra, before they daven or before they learn, and how much should they travel to be able to find that mikveh. There are other Rishonim that say that this issue of Tfilah is not, as we've been discussing, for Tfilah, but it means for Tfilas Aderech. How much does somebody have to travel to be obligated to say Tfilas Aderech? Furthermore, there's a significant discussion in the Mefarshim. Which tefillah are we speaking about? Parsha Pshat, we're talking about all tefillas. That a person has to go out of his way to daven b'minyan, daven b'beis haknesses, all three tefillas that we daven every day. There are those that the Paiskim do seem to all agree that it's only for tefillah, not for Krishma. Krishma doesn't have this rule. Especially, they explain, since Krishma has the Zman Krishma, which comes fairly quickly, they do, in fact, that leads to a discussion, perhaps the only tefillah is Mincha, which has really most of the day you could have a Mincha. Shacharis has a time frame. Shacharis is a din that you have to have Krishma Samach LaTefillah. So you have to say Krishma right before tefillah, and therefore, since this rule doesn't apply for Krishma, it doesn't apply for Shacharis Shmoneh Esrei, so too for Ma'ariv Shmoneh Esrei. There's an interesting discussion in the Paiskim, based on this Gemara. Our Gemara is saying that a person has to go out of its way, that's Posh Pshat in the Gemara, the person has to go out of his way to daven Tfila B'tzibur. So now the question that the Paiskim discuss is, if so, why, if somebody is in the middle of davening, or even in the middle of Krishma, is he not obligated to be mafsik, to stop his davening, in order to be able to daven Tfila B'tzibur, stop the Krishma, and get up and daven Shmoneh Esrei with everybody else? So I essentially saw two approaches in the Achronim how to deal with this question. Reb Moshe, and the Gris Moshe, the way I understand what he's saying, holds that the chiyuv of Tfila B'tzibur, the obligation to daven Tfila B'tzibur, is a full-fledged obligation. However, it comes with rules. Like every obligation comes with rules. And one of the rules are that if you're in the middle of Krishma, you're not obligated to stop your Krishma in order to daven Tfila B'tzibur. The Sefer Emek Bracha for a Marka Pomeranchik seems to take a different approach. It's Kamata, explicit Rambam. He says that what does Tfila B'tzibur mean? Tfila B'tzibur doesn't mean that there's an independent obligation to daven Tfila B'tzibur. We all want our tefillahs to be answered. By davening Tfila B'tzibur, that's one of the ways that you get your tefillah answered. But of course, even though we all want our tefillah to be answered, only at a certain price. And if the price to have our tefillah answered means that we have to stop Krishma, we shouldn't stop Krishma. And in fact, after I saw that Emek Bracha, I understood certain Piskei Halacha that the Mishnah Berurah says. Not everybody agrees with the Mishnah Berurah and all of these halachas. Mishnah Berurah says that if a person has an opportunity to daven kivasikin by the nates, he maybe could daven b'yichidus and miss tefillah b'tzibur. Of course, the best is to daven kivasikin b'tzibur. Or, if it's coming mincha time, and there's no minyan to daven before the shkia, he could daven after the shkia. How do we understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying? Perhaps what the Mishnah Berurah means to say is, davening kivasikin is a school, it's a way to get your tefillahs answered. Davening b'tefillah b'tzibur, as we're saying, is the same. So now when you have two options, so maybe v'sikin is as much as a power to get your tefillah answered as tefillah b'tzibur. Similarly, davening before the shkia, tefillah b'tzibur is important to get your tefillah answered, but it's not at the expense of the basic halacha of tefillah, and therefore if it's coming shkia, daven without a minyan. Or until you die. The Tilas Yadayim, again, Pashup Shat, that's the way most Rishonim learn, that you need to eat, and you eat a bread, and there's no water available, so you have to travel Dalad Minim, 4 Milim, to be able to get water. If there's no water within Dalad Milim, then you could eat just with wrapping your hands, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, in a towel. Other sites talk about washing for tefillah, or in the shurim er abimilim. Now, there's a very fundamental question that we have to address as we learn this Gemara. Abimilim means the time it takes to walk abimilim, which is, as I said, 72 minutes or so. But what happens nowadays when we have cars and trains? So you could travel a lot more than abimilim in 72 minutes when you're driving a car. Essentially, especially if you live in a metropolitan area, you could always find Tfila B'tzibur within a distance of traveling by car 72 minutes. So do we look at the time, or do we look at the distance? Mr. Brewer Paskins, we don't look at the distance. We look at the time. The time it takes to travel Arba Milim, which is 72 minutes, you have to go to Daven to Lebet Zibra. We're going to see soon exceptions to the rule. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to limit it to distance. But most Paiskim can agree with the Mishnah Berurah that it's not a function of distance, it's a function of time. Amr of Nachman by Yitzchak. Eva Amra, who was actually Eva who said this halacha, v'Aba Amriba, and he actually said four situations. V'Chad Menai, and one of the cases that he mentioned was Avoida. The case that we've been discussing in our shiur, that what's considered the amount of time to work on leather, you have to walk Dalad Milim. Why didn't the previous Tana mention Avoida? So they say either because he didn't want to include issues that aren't obligatory, you have to daven, you have to wash your hands, you don't have to work with leather. Or he only wanted to mention issues that reflect Tahara. Working with leather has nothing to do with your personal Tahara. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim say, so why didn't they say it originally in the name of Eva? So they quote that there's a Gemara where Eva was eight pas akum. Because Eva was a person that ate Pas Akum, they didn't want to quote him by name. However, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Lo Shana Lofana. When we speak about having to travel in order to fulfill all these halakas that we discussed, is only when it's in the direction that you're going anyway. Avel Akrav, if it's in the opposite direction, Afil Mel Echad Ein Chayzer, you don't have to go in the opposite direction. However, comments the Gemara, Rav Acha ben Yaakov Amar, Umino, based on what we just learned, Milway and the Chayzer. If it's in the opposite direction from where you're traveling, you don't have to travel a mil. Hapach's a mil. If it's less than a mil, Chayzer, you should go out of your direction, out of your way, even if it's the opposite direction. And here, as we conclude this piece of Gemara, we have also a very big machloikus apaiskin. Gemara is clearly paskining that if the water, the minion, is in the direction that you're traveling, you should go arba mil. If it's in the opposite direction, you should go up to a mil. What about if you're home? You're not traveling. You're sitting at home. And how much do you have to go out of your way to daven tefillah b'tzibur? The Mishnah Berurah says that somebody sitting at home is like somebody traveling, and it's considered you're traveling in the wrong direction. Because you didn't have intention to go anywhere. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah, somebody sitting at home only has to go up to a mil. Or the amount of time it takes to travel a mil. Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. He says only someone who's traveling. So to tell the person to travel in the wrong direction and the opposite direction, then he has to make up what he traveled. That's where Chazal said if it's less than a mil, do it. More than a mil, you don't have to do it. But if you're sitting at home, there the halach of Dal Milim applies. Tana Rabbanan says the Gemara Lagoyin Hay Oyvim Mokkelim Mokkelim. If there's an army that's traveling from place to place, the Nichnas Labayis, and they enter a home, Habayis Tamei, the house is considered Tamei. Shein lecha kol goyim v'goyim, every one of these armies, shein lo kamakak pulim, that they used to have flasks or different objects made out of the skin of people that we discussed in the previous year. And says the Gemara, v'al t'tama, and don't be surprised, sheka kefila shel shishmol, munach b'resh malachim. The famous story, Asara Aruge Malchus, that we speak about in the Kinnas on Tisha B'Av and in the Arzei Halvaran, in the Musaf of Yom Kippur. Shmuel Bar Elisha was the Kohen Gadol, and he was one of the Asara Aruge Malchus, and he was particularly a very handsome individual. And as he was being killed, the daughter of the king said, "This is such a beautiful individual, how can we kill him?" So the king ordered, the Caesar ordered that his skin be stripped and be preserved. And they used to take it out. So you see that they used to take the skin of people, says the Gemara. The Farshim try to understand this piece of Gemara. Here the Gemara is saying that the skin of people is tummy when it's brought into the house. And therefore, if the army enters the house becomes tummy. So they discuss that we learned in the previous year two versions. There was one version that indeed the skin of people is Tami Daraisa. And that version, our Gemara, is very understandable. Because most people that they skinned weren't Jewish. But it's a Safek Daraisa, because we just said that Tumas or Adam is Safek Daraisa. And therefore, Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, and we have to be Machmer when they enter the house. But according to the other version that we learned in yesterday's Gemara, that midaraisa, the skin of a person is not tamei. It's only, as we learned, a special gzeiras chazal, so it's a drabanan. So why are we machmer, suffolk drabanan, they come with skin. But it's a suffolk if it's Jewish skin or non-Jewish skin. So why don't we say suffolk drabanan lakula? So first we say that the Gemara is actually trying to answer that question. Because the Gemara says, she'en lecha kol goyim v'goyim, she'en lekamer karkafilin. You're right. If they were only carrying one scalp, it's most likely we're at best a suffolk if it's Jewish or non-Jewish, and the halacha would be suffolk drabanan lakula. But each one of them, they come with many scalps. Since they come with many scalps, the chances of it being a Jewish scalp significantly increase, and therefore we have to be machmer. I saw the Mefarshim explain, this is what we say in Chanukah. Yevonim nigbetzu alai, azev imen hashmanim, ufortzu chaymas migdolai, v'timu kol hashmanim. What happened? The Yevonim, the Goyim, part of Chaim's Migdalai, came into our homes, came to our houses. And our Gemara says that when they come into the houses where they come with the Karka Filin, they make everything Tamei. That's why V'timakol HaShmanim, all the Shmanim in our houses became Tamei, because they entered with these Karka Filin. Our Mishnah goes back to discuss a subject that we've discussed previously in this Perek, about the Yad and the Shomer around Tuma. So says the Mishnah, Mafshe b'behema b'chaya, if somebody strips, whether it's a behema or chaya, b'tahayra t'meya, pash pshat, b'tahayra t'meya means whether it's a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, the kosher animal being in the veil. Rashi seems to learn b'tahayra means that the animal is a kosher animal that was slaughtered properly, but the person touching it is tamei. B'daka b'gasa, whether it's a behema daka or behema gasa. So, as best as we could explain, there were different purposes that the leather around an animal was used for, the hide around the animal was used for, and the stripping of the animal was done differently. If they're going to use the leather for l'shtiach, for a bedspread, or for a tablecloth, the way they would strip the animal is they would make a cut along the length of the animal, and then they would begin to strip the animal. So if that's the way it's being, if that's the purpose why they're using the leather and the way they're stripping the animal, kedei achiza. It's kedei achiza, we're going to see in the Gemara the amount is kedei achiza, that amount of leather becomes a yad l'tuma. But if it's stripped more than that amount, which we'll see is the two tfachim, then that leather is not going to be considered a yad l'tuma. Why? So as we're going to see in the Gemara, it's actually a machloikis, Rav and Ravasi. Rav seems to learn that if you just only stripped a little part of little leather, then if you're going to want to move the animal, you're going to grab that leather. And that's why it's a yad. If you strip more, you're just going to carry the animal, not carry it by the leather, and therefore it's not a yad. Ravasi seems to learn that if you begin stripping the animal, so if you stripped only a little amount, so to continue stripping, you're just going to grab on to that leather that's already stripped. Once you took off a lot, it's easier just to not do it that way. Lechemus, if you want to strip the animal for a flask, so here, you don't make that lengthwise cut that I mentioned. You just strip the animal. The halacha is, till you get to the breast, it's considered a yad. Afterwards, it's not considered a yad. The way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara is as follows. Until you get to the breast of the animal, it's difficult to strip the animal. And therefore, you may stop. You may not really finish doing the job. And therefore, it's considered a yad. But if you get past the chaza, so then it's very simple. And therefore, at that point, it's not considered a yad anymore. Hamarga, if you strip the animal from the foot, as Machlok Shushanim had to understand this, the simple pshat is that instead of making the cut anywhere on the animal, they make the cut on the leg, and from that they go and they strip the animal. Others say that when you do it at a margul, you don't even make a cut at all. Hamargul kula chibla tuma, the entire leather is considered one big piece of leather, and until you took it all off, it's a yad latuma. Kula chibla tuma latame latame. until the imports and exports tumah. Or shalat saver. And again, the way we need to learn the Mishnah is as follows. You started stripping from the leg. And you stripped up to the neck. So you didn't finish, you still have the leather around the neck. That's considered as if all the leather is off. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds, since he got off almost all the leather, and the leather that's remaining around the neck is very insignificant, that's not considered anything that's still connected. The Chamaimer, no. You have to get off all of the leather. Chibur, Achiyashir Eskuli, you have to get off all the leather off the animal. Says the Gemara, Mikam Ve'elich Mai. So we go back to the first halacha of the Mishnah, that if you took off the Kedei Achiza, what is the status of the leather? Amarav, Tar HaMufshit. As we explained, once you go past taking off Kedei Achiza, all of the leather is not considered a yad. Ravasi disagrees, has tefach asamach lebasar, the tefach that's closest to the basar is still tamei. It's always tamei. Why? Because Rav Asi holds that you're always going to take that last tefach closest to the flesh to grab onto to do your stripping, and therefore it's always considered a yad. Ask the Gemara on Rav Asi, Meisvei, it says in a braisa, Hamafshe kishir hazeh mikan ve'eloch, if you strip more than kedei achiza, hanagei b'mufshe tahar. My love, isn't the braisa referring? Afil b'tabachah somach labasar. And yet the braisa is saying that it's tahar. Says the Gemara, loy. The way Rav Asi is going to interpret that braisa, it means levad b'tabachah somach labasar. The tabachah somach labasar always is going to be considered a yad. Another question on Rav Asi. Toshmat says in the braisa, b'or shekneged habasar, tamei. Only the leather that's directly on the flesh is still considered a yad. What does this braisa seem to me say? Or shekneged habasar tamei. Only the leather that's still on the flesh is tamei. But any other leather, including har b'tefach hasamach labasar, is tahor. But Rav Asi said that the tefach hasamach labasar is tamei. Answers the Gemara of Asi is going to explain that the braisa means tana kol tefach hasamach labasar or k'shneged basar karle. If it's that last tefach, it's in the category of or k'shneged basar. So Mar asks another question. Toshma on Rav Asi. It says in the braisa, Hamafsha bebehema bechaya, betoyer behema betmeya, bedako begasa, lishtiach, if he's doing it for bread, is kidei chiza, vetefach hasamach labasa tar. So it says clearly in this braisa, that the tefach hasamach labasa, which Rav Asi is speaking about, it says here in the braisa, the tefach hasamach labasa is tar. Answers the Gemara, Tana, Hachemai Skim, Betafak Rishon. Which means as follows. If you stripped a significant amount, and now Rav Asi says that significant amount is not a yad, the last tefach closest to the basar is a yad. But let's say you only took off one tefach. So that one tefach, it's already past the Kedei Achiza, as we'll see, but it's so little that you won't grab onto it to strip the animal. Because you don't have enough to grab onto. It's only a tefach. There Rav Asi will agree that the din of tefach hasamach labasar doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara. We keep on speaking about the kedei achiza. Kam kedei achiza? Says the Gemara, tefach. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, but didn't we learn in a different braisa that kedei achiza is tfachayim tu tfachim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, tefach kafa. When it says tefach, it means a folded over tefach, which is indeed two tefachim. And it says, the Gemara indeed, it says so in the Braisa, Tanya Nami Hochi, Kam Kedei Achiza, Tefach Kafel. Before we begin the next piece of Gemara, which we're going to work with for a couple of dafim, the concept, we all know the best way to give the example is a Klicheris. A Klicheris, an earthenware keli that becomes Tamei, has no Tahara B'mikvah. You can't put it into a mikvah. So what is the way a kli cheres could become tahor? Shvirason zui tarason, breaking it. But that halacha that by breaking a keli it becomes tahor is not limited to kli cheres. It's most applicable to kli cheres because that's the only way you can be matar a kli cheres. But it applies to any keli. And therefore, says the Gemara, the Mishnah says in Masech the Kalim, Talas Shehizchibola Kara, if there's a talus that became Tame, if you begin to tear it, Kivin Shenikra Ruba, once you've torn most of that talus that's Tame, Shuv Einechibur, it's not considered anymore connected with Tahira. It becomes Tahar. And we have here a very big Machlokas Rashi in Taisus. You have, let's say, a very big talus, and you've ripped most of it. You've ripped most of it, but you still have a significant amount left. What would be the halacha? Rashi says it's tahar. As long as, because the Gemara says Rashi, as long as you rip most of it, you're fine. Taisha says, no, we have to look at the remaining part. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler explains what's the machlokas Rashi in Taisha. He says a very nice way of explaining it. He says, Rashi learns that the act of ripping, the act of breaking, is an act that causes tahara to come. So what is halachically, legally defined as an act of breaking? If you ripped most of it, that's how Rashi learns. Taisus, says Rabbi Aaron, doesn't look at the act of ripping. He looks at the result. And if you left over, indeed, you ripped most of that talus, but you're left with still a significant amount that isn't ripped, so it's not considered a ripped talus, and it's therefore not tahar. Interestingly, Taisus works with the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Talus she'eschabal akara. Why does the Gemara say this interesting wording, Talus she'eschabal akara, I began to cut it. Why does the Gemara say, Talus she'akara? So Taisus says a big chiddush, that let's say I started ripping the talus. As soon as I started ripping the talus, and I end up ripping most of it, whatever the halach is, l'mafreya, retroactively, it's considered tar for when I began ripping it, not only when I completed ripping it. That's Taisus pshat. The Mishnah Melech, and he says this pshat in the Rambam, says the Gemara means she'eschabal akara, means it's not enough that I should rip it, I should rip it with the intention of ripping it. And that's what the Gemara means with talus she'eschabal akara. Comments the Gemara on this Mishnah. It's only, we know, the halacha is that if something is put in the mikveh, it doesn't make it tahor completely. It's called a tful yoyim. And has to wait till Harav Shemesh. So says Rabbi Bavua, where does this halacha of ripping a talus being tahor apply? That was put into mikveh. Why? The mikveh lechasel of the atla. The fact that the person put into the mikveh, and he didn't care about what it will cause, what will happen to the garment, so that is a proof that loichayisla the karla ruba, that he's going to rip it properly, he's going to rip most of it. Abot halish and tfulus yoyim. If he didn't put into the mikveh, we need to be concerned. We have to be concerned that he won't rip it roiv, and if we don't rip it roiv, there's no question that it's a meaningless act. Amar Rava, says Rava to Rav Nachman, Shtei Tshuvas B'Dover. I have two problems with what you just said. Chada, my first problem is, Shemi Yoyim Ritfilas Bas Yoyim Oila. What is Rav Nachman saying? Rav Nachman saying that we're referring to a talus that was put into the mikveh today. So now, somebody sees that I put this talus in the mikveh today. Yes, I ripped it afterwards. But he doesn't see that I ripped it afterwards. And then he sees that I consider this talus tahar. So what's he going to think? That something that's put into the mikveh immediately becomes tahar. But I just said that's not true. You have to have Harav Shemesh. So Rav is saying, on the contrary, saying something that was put into the mikveh today is tahar can lead to terrible repercussions that people will think that as soon as you put something into the mikveh, it becomes tahar. Furthermore, he asks, and we need to review something that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Chof Aleph. When you bring an oila sa'if, there are two kinds of karbanos that are brought from a bird, oila and a chattis. So the Tanakhama there says that just like by a chattis the head is completely decapitated, so too by the oila. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says you only do roif. Says the Gemara, we acquaint Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that you do roif, ligza dimalayos lamevid roif shnayim. Why should we not be concerned that you're not going to do most of, if we see that there's a concern you're not going to do it right, so why wasn't he concerned over there? So we need to work with this Gemara for a moment. Because the Rishonim ask, what kind of question is this? The halacha is that you have to do Roiv. So how could the Gemara say that we should do anything else? So there are two ways the Rishonim work with this Gemara. One way the Rishonim work with this Gemara is that when Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that you have to do Roiv, doesn't mean that you have to do Roiv. You could do the whole thing as well. Therefore, the Gemara's question is very understandable. Why just do Roiv? And when you do Roiv, you're going to maybe not do Roiv. Chazal should have told us to do all of it, and like that, there won't be any mistake. That's one approach. But there's a very different approach. And this other approach is a Geschmacker approach, and it resolves a very fundamental difficulty. The halacha, according to these Rishonim, is that you have to do Roiv, and you can't do the whole neck. So since you have to do Roiv, and not the whole neck, the Kahanim were always very careful not to do too much. Because we're dealing with a bird, it's very small. And they're concerned that the Kahanim were always concerned that if we cut too much, we may end up cutting all of it. And in their concern of cutting too much, they maybe cut too little. And that's the Gemara's question. Besides that it's a nice pshat, what does this pshat accomplish? What this pshat accomplishes, if Chazal are concerned that you're not going to cut enough, so why does the Gemara speak about the oilus oif? Why doesn't the Gemara speak about every shechita? We learned when we learned Hilcha Shechita and this Masechta together, Baruch Hashem, that Aloch is how the shechita accomplish. When you do roiv of one simon by a bird, or roiv of two simon by an animal, so why doesn't the Gemara ask that roiv shouldn't be good enough? You may not end up doing roiv, you may end up doing less than roiv. The answer is, given the teretz that we just gave, that by a bird, by a regular bird, there's no problem if you'll end up cutting off the whole head. By a regular animal, there's no problem if you cut off the whole head. So therefore, people do roiv, they do it right. Mash ken, however, by bird, we have this tension. You have to do roiv, but you can't do all of it. That's why there should be a room for concern. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat to answer the question that we're discussing, that why is the Gemara specifically concerned by oilus oif, and the Gemara is not concerned by every shechita, is that by every shechita, the halacha is, when we speak about an oif, as I just said, roiv of one simon is enough. So if you have to do roiv of one simon, and now you go and you do roiv of two simonim, so you're going to certainly be okay. But here you have to do two simonim by the oif. And you have to do roiv of those two simonim, there's a real concern you may not do it right. Amalei, so my response. Amalei Rav Yosef. The Ka'amet, you're concerned, that people saw that I took this beggar to the mikvah, and they're not going to realize that I also tore it. That, says the Gemara, is not a concern. Why? The fact that I ripped it, everybody's going to see that I ripped it. And the other question that we posed, the Ka'amet, Oilas Oifle Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Ligzer, says the Gemara, Kahanim's reasoning. Who does the Malika on the Oilas Oif? Kahanim. Kahanim has reason. They know how to do it. They do it right. And it's a Gval de Garashi, Masech de Shabbos, Davchof Amir Aleph. Because many times the Gemara says this word, Kahanim's reason name. What is the definition of Kahanim's reason name? Rashi says, Charedim ubnei Torah. The fact that they're serious about what they're supposed to do, and they're bnei Torah, and they know the halacha, that tells us that we don't have to worry. And therefore, interesting pre-chadosh, the pre-chadosh says, and this is the minik, that indeed when Kahanim do Malika in the Beis HaMikdash, so they do Roiv. And we can be confident, as the Gemara teaches us, that they're going to do it right. But when a person shechts, so he's not a Kohen, he's not the Charedim of Bnei Torah, the minik is that we cut the entire head off by the bird, by the animal, because there shouldn't be a question, was it indeed Roiv? It's a very nice verse from Chaim Shmulevitz. Somebody once asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitz to do him a favor. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz didn't do it. So the person said to Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Gemara says that Kahanim's reason, B'nai Torah's reason. So how do you not do what I ask you immediately? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, let's learn the Gemara together. What is our Gemara saying that there's reason? Zrizim means that they don't cut the whole head. They only cut roiv. So he said the definition of zrizis doesn't specifically mean that you're going to do something. Zrizis also means that you're not going to do something. But the zaris to know what to do, and as well as what not to do. Toshma, continues the Gemara. Our Mishnah, so if you did Kedei Achiza, then it's a Yad L'Tumah. Hayes Mekedei Achiza, as we learned the Mishnah, Tohor. Ask the Gemara, how is our Mishnah so quick to say that if you cut Yes Mekedei Achiza, it's not a Yad L'Tumah, Amai, based on what we're learning now, Ligzer, Demalayos Lamevid El Kedei Achiza, maybe you're going to end up doing El Kedei Achiza, the Kanaga B'Tumah, and he ends up, therefore, it's still a Yad L'Tumah. The Kumitamarin Alay, and he's going to end up being Mitarit. So Tais was asked the obvious question. This person, what is his whole goal? His whole goal is that he wants to take off the skin. So why would I be worried that he's stripping the animal? Why would we be worried? So the Tais says that the Rishonim answer, Mefarshim explained, we're worried that he's going to get tired in the middle. Or he's not going to do it properly. Therefore, why should we not be concerned? Answers the Gemara, Iba Tumah D'Oraisa, if our Mishnah was speaking about a Tumah D'Oraisa, Hachinami, you're concerned where we would be well-placed. Hachamai Skinen, what is our Mishnah referring to? The Tumah D'Rabbanan. It's only talking about a Tumah D'Rabbanan, and therefore we could be more lenient without having this discuss. Ask the Gemara, Tainach Tamei B'Tahira. Ask the Gemara, in a case where a tar person touched a nevela, so that's a case, there it's talking about a tumah d'rabbanan. Tar b'tameya, tumah b'daraisahi. But in other words, when a tame person is touching a tar animal, that's only tumah d'rabbanan. But when a tar person is touching a tumah d'ga animal, that's tumah d'raisah. So, how can we say that our Mishnah is only speaking about a Tumah D'Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, the case of our Mishnah is a betrefa, that the animal's a trefa. And since the animal's a trefa, midaraisa, an animal that turns out to be a trefa, is not Tameh, it's only Tumah D'Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, if it's a trefa, bas tamuyahi, is it Tameh at all? Answers the Gemara, in. K'ravu d'shmul, dam v'shvu d'shmul, trefa sheshachta, Metamim Mekdoshim. Machlokes, how to understand this. Some Rishonim explain that if the animal that was slaughtered was Hegdish, and it turns out to be Treifa, it's Tameh. Others explain that if the animal that was slaughtered turns out to be Treifa, and it touches Hegdish, that Hegdish will become Treif, Midrabbanan, will become Tameh Midrabbanan. So that's why our Gemara is not quit. Our Mishnah is not a problem, because our Mishnah is only talking about the Rabbanan. But the Rabban Chazal did not have this concern. Tashma. So Gemara attempts from a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Destoy ben Yehuda Mishum Rav Shimon Omer, Hamavshet Bitzrotzim, if somebody is stripping his sheretz, Chiba Atchiyav Shedes Kula. It's considered all a Yad until you strip the entire sheretz. Have a Gomel and a Chibur. But why not? A Gomel is a Tamadig animal. So it's Tamad Raisa. So why are we not concerned that you're not going to take off enough, you didn't take off the roif? Says the Gemara, that's not the right deek. Loi tema, el habagomel ein echiber. A gomel, we have to get a strong roif off. Otherwise, we have to be concerned that maybe you didn't take off the roif. Ela emer, ba'osha and tzaber, when we get to the next skin, there ein echiber, because our Mishnah, this price represents Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that says that if you're stripping an animal, once you get to the neck, it's considered as if you strip the entire thing. But indeed, you have to strip the entire thing because Chazal were concerned that you maybe aren't going to get the right, all of the roif. Kamis the Gemara, Amar Rav Nhuna Mishim Rav Shim Ben Yosi. When we speak about ripping a talus, that the talus becomes tahor, loy shana l'shoye by kedemai fires. It's only in a situation where you didn't leave over the amount, the size of a kerchief. Ava shaye by kedemai fires. If you left over that amount, chibur, it's considered still whole, and it's still tamei. Furthermore, Amrei Shlokish, loishan al talus. This halacha that if you rip a garment, it becomes tar, is only by a material garment. Aval or, when it's made out of leather, cholim. It's still strong, and it's fixable, and therefore, even if you left over any amount, it's still tahar. Rabbi Yochanan says, afil or nami lecholim, it makes no difference if it's leather or material. Ask the Gemara, Eisei Rabbi Yochanan le'shlokish, or tamei medris, if you have an or that became tamei medris. What is tamei medris? The halacha is that anything that a zav sits on, that is designated, or lays on, that is designated for sitting or laying, becomes tamei, becomes an avatoma. So it says here in the Mishnah Masech Tekelim that or tamei medris, chishav lav l'rtzus for sandlin, if you decided to use this leather to make strips or to make shoes, the halacha is kivin shenasim ba izemel tar. As soon as you start cutting it, it's tar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Recham aymrim, actually metenem chamish tefachim. Until you cut it less than chamish tefachim. But it's clear in this Mishnah that even according to the opinion of the Chachamim, kimem ma'at lei mechamisha, when you cut it that there's less than 5 tefachim, then it's going to be tar according to everybody. But the question is, amai, Yurish Lucky said, cholim, the leather could always be fixed. So why, if you have a decent piece of leather left, it still does become tahar? Answers the Gemara, ki kamri the cholim, when did Rish Lucky say that we're concerned that the leather is fixable? Heicha de katsar leila hedja. That's only when you just rip it. Hachem maiskinen, b'mektsar b'ala darach suvayasav. You cut it in a circular fashion, that Rish Lakish hold is not fixable, and even by leather, if you cut most of it, if you rip most of it, it's tahar. Eis, Master of Yirmiyo, from our case. Hamashra b'bhem b'chaya, b'tayra b'tameya, b'daka b'gasa, l'shtiach, k'dayachiza. If you did it for a spetz bread, as soon as you rip k'dayachiza, 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 as soon as you rip more than Kedai Chiza, which we said in Amun Aleph means two tefachim, it's tahar. Ask the Gemara again. You have plenty of leather left. And Rish Lakish says that when you have a lot of leather left, it's fixable. So v'mai, v'lei mecholim. Why don't we say that it's fixable? Answers the Gemara, Targ Marav Oven, Rishon Asen Nipple. Over here, every piece that you cut gets considered that it's not connected to the animal, and therefore it's not considered a yad or a shomer for the animal. Moser of Yosef, or shalatzavor, the or that's by the neck, Rav Yechem ben Nuri yoyma en achibor. Rav Yechem ben Nuri said, if you strip the entire animal, and you just have that little leather left on the neck, it's fine. But ask the Gemara again, according to Rish Lakish, amai hacholim. So we see that even though there's a piece of leather still together, Rabbi Yechem ben Nuri says it's tahar. Answered the Gemara, the Kama Amalabaya, Ema Seifa, the Chama Mechibur. The Chama say, yes, if you have that little piece of leather left, you still have a problem. Why? Because it's obvious that the Chama concur with Rish Lakish. The Machlaikis is between Rabbi Yechem ben Nuri, because the Gemara is trying to reconcile, Abaya is trying to reconcile even the opinion of Yechem and Nuri with Rish Lakish. If something is going to fall off by itself, Mar Sover have a Shomer, the Chamhol that's still considered in the category of a Shomer. Or Mar Sover, Rabbi Yechem and Nuri says, since this is ultimately going to rip, because you ripped all of the skin off the animal and you just have this little amount left, that's why in this unique situation I have a Shomer. But in a regular case, it could be that the Chamim and even Rabbi Yechem ben Nuri agree with Rish Lakish that if you rip most of the leather, it's still not tar because it's always cholim, it's always fixable.